This is The Takeaway with Melissa Harris-Perry from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
Throughout March, to celebrate Women's History Month, The Takeaway is partnering with the Center for American Women in Politics at Rutgers University to bring you the stories of women leading locally. And this time, we're headed to Philly.
My name is Helen Gim, City Council Member at Large.
My name is Kendra Brooks, City Council Member at Large for the City of Philadelphia.
Now, Philly may be the city of brotherly love, but these two sisters are doing all the things for the city they love. Council Members Gim and Brooks care about their constituents. They champion fairness and equity, and they're most definitely all about the community. I asked Councilmember Brooks how she began her path to politics.
I've always been very active in my community, and my children's school was slated to become a charter. And we organized the parents in my neighborhood and former alumni of the school towards a fight to make sure our school maintained a public school status. And we won. I mean, it was a fight that I never thought I could win. And it was a victory for my community. It was bigger than me. But then it kind of took the blinders off that when we organize and we fight, we can win collectively. And that just kind of entered me into this whole world of community organizing around issues, whether it was neighbors against the gas plant, it was also in my neighborhood, gun violence issues that were happening in our neighborhood, and just overall. And that's actually my path into politics. I never saw myself becoming a politician. I just saw myself fighting and helping my neighbors fight for, you know, the communities and the city that we deserve.
Clearly that pathway, Councilmember Brooks, that pathway of finding yourself moving towards elected office by first starting around community advocacy and especially advocacy around kids, around health. I mean, that is in certain ways 101 for drawing women into elected leadership.
Absolutely. One of the things I used to say, and I try not to say anymore, I used to say I was just a mom. And there's no such thing as just a mom. Like, I am a mom, I am a woman, and I am a fighter. And all of those things, I want women to stop saying that we're just something, because that just thing is the power. That's like our superpower. And had I not been just a mom, I thought I was, my school would not be in the hands of the City of Philadelphia. My nieces and nephews still attend that school in our community. You know, so many other fights started because I was a community member and I love my neighborhood.
Council Member Gim, similarly, tell me a bit about your pathway into elected office.
So like my colleague, Council Member Brooks, you know, my path through into politics cut through Philadelphia's organizing communities. I had been a longtime activist in Philadelphia's immigrant and public education communities, two communities that were often marginalized, if not oppressed, by existing politics. But we had to organize nonetheless because the consequences were great. Families could be deported. Families could be torn apart. Children could lose access to a school. They could drop out. So I learned early on at the feet of many different activists here across the city of Philadelphia how important it was to knit together a real movement that came out of communities. Unfortunately for us, a lot of the reasons why we were so strong and expansive was because so many terrible things were happening to us. The state took over the Philadelphia public schools, for example, took out $1 billion from public education, fired thousands of staff members, including almost every single nurse and counselor out of a public school. Folks like us, Councilmember Brooks, myself, and thousands of others had no choice. And it turned out that the work that we were doing was more than just, as Councilmember Brooks shared, fighting for our schools, but we were fighting for our city. We were fighting for a vision that was far greater than a single moment in time. A city that left its school children and its kids behind would leave its communities and its people behind. And so I think that urgency propelled me in. But the thing that holds me here is the continuing expansive strength of community organizing that we've seen fuel movements all across the country, whether it's labor rights, civil rights, voting rights. Those movements are still alive. And folks like us, Councilmember Brooks, Kendra, and I, only come in when those movements are strong.
Now, and both of you are firsts. I mean, probably first in many ways, but let me focus in a little bit on the ways in which you are firsts. I'll come back to you, just straight back to you, Councilmember Gim, on this. You're the first Asian American woman to serve on the city council in Philadelphia, and you are serving, if I'm right, in an at-large role, which means that you have to win across the city. Is that right?
You know, there's something really amazing about local politics, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful, Melissa, that you're taking a look at it right now. And that has a lot to do with the fact that people really do see their local politicians as belonging to them, as being, you know, a face for the city, hopefully a champion for the city and for the issues that they really care about. And I think, you know, when it comes to women, women of color, women from diverse immigrant backgrounds, like, it matters a lot that you know, that we can carry that forward on behalf of a city of our size. And I know that we certainly dedicated ourselves, you know, to really fully embracing not just, you know, kind of a picture of what our city looks like, but the issues that really drive communities to be engaged and love the city more than we thought possible.
Councilmember Brooks, you are the first Working Families Party member elected to city council. I have a young person who I think of myself as a mentor to, who is involved with the Working Family Parties out of Texas. And one of the kind of pushbacks she and I are always having as we're trying to sharpen this mentor-mentee relationship is I say, hey, is this a real party? Are you getting people elected to office? Tell me about, you know, sort of how you're seeing the vision of this party. And regularly, your name comes up as, don't ask me if we're getting people elected to office. have you checked out Kendra Brooks? So talk to me a bit about what the Working Families Party agenda is and why it mattered to you to run in that party.
So for me, once again, I never saw myself as being a politician. When the opportunity came for me to run as a candidate at large here in Philadelphia and be authentically myself, I can run on a platform that was based on the work I had been doing on the ground for years. I could run on a platform to talk about my core values. I can connect folks in my community that didn't care about politics, did not vote, was not connected or felt connected to city government. I can engage them in a way that they have never seen before and make them feel a part of something. And for me, that's what Working Families Party and my election did for WFP Philadelphia. When I think about the work that we do nationally, WFP also endorses Democratic candidates, progressive Democratic candidates. You know, we think about early on endorsement of Councilmember Gim and Larry Krasner and Nikhil Saval and Liz Fiedler and Chris Rabb and, you know, all the Rick Kajewski, all the left progressive folks here in Philadelphia. And, you know, that is what the Power of Working Families Party can do. You know, these were or are Democratic candidates that still ran outside of the party lines. They were far left progressive, not necessarily having support from the Democratic establishment, but WFP gave them somewhere to sell as well. And, you know, a political home, you know, like the party of your dreams. And for me, it was very exciting to build this. And I feel honored to be a part of building something that we've never seen before. One of the stories I like to tell, I have young adult children and teenagers. And my 22-year-old, when it was time for me to vote, when it was time to vote, her friends was like, we never voted before. You know, I'm not into politics. None of this is working for me. But I was able to explain to them the platform. And my one word to them is vote. If voting doesn't matter, if I win, it proves that it does. Because my election was a long shot. Like, there's never been a third party elected official in the city. Our strategy was outside the box. We had to explain, political education was grounded in the work, because we had to explain what a third party is. Like, what is a minority people party? Because most people only understood Democrats or Republicans. And it was a huge lift, but it was a very rewarding experience. So when I won an election, I ran into one of my daughter's friends on the subway going to City Hall. And they called me Miss Nikki. They was like, Miss Nikki, now we got to get this other person out, which was Trump. That's how you activate young folks. You have to give them something that they can be excited about. You have to give them something that they can see, they can feel and envision themselves being a part of. And I feel for me, that's what WFP is all about. And I want to continue that political education because there are so many folks that are so disengaged with voting and electoral politics. It's time for us to change that because 9 times out of 10, those are the folks that are most impacted.
Now, WFP may regularly endorse Democratic candidates, but Helen had to actually cross party lines in a sense or expand party lines in order to endorse you. And that did ruffle some feathers. I'm wondering what her support has meant to you.
So I'm glad you asked this because I wanted to go back when she was speaking earlier. So Helen and I go way back from when I used to say we're just moms. I don't know if she remembers this. When the fight for Steel School first happened, she was the first person I called and she was on a train to D.C. to be awarded by President Obama. And I was like, I need your help. And she said, soon as I get back to the city, we're on it. The fight around the school, we spent long nights in church basements and people's houses organizing a community. So this is more like a sisterhood. I don't think people understand like we go that far back. Before I even just started that I would even pick up the mantle and decide to run, I reached out to Helen. I was like, what do you think? Because once again, this was not my career path, you know? So her support meant a lot. You know, when you can identify with someone who has, you know, challenged the status quo and has to stand alone in places and still be a champion, to have someone like that come out and support you, it means a lot. And I think that kind of speaks to, you know, Helen's commitment to community and commitment to just kind of bringing that whole idea of WFP, like bringing political education, bringing people up, you know, and preparing us for something we've never seen before. And I think, you know, the endorsement, just the support and just the overall sisterhood, I can't even say collegiality. I'm talking about a sisterhood, just being available to help navigate this process has been huge for me.
Helen, you want to speak on this moment, this issue as well?
I am so moved. Kendra and I are sisters. You know, as she said, we do go way back. And while, you know, she'll talk a little bit about, you know, how we met early on, there's no question that, you know, when I remember that battle so clearly. And I remember thinking, you know, when I usually walk into these campaigns thinking like, you know, the odds are against us, like very few people, low likelihood of success, surefire, you know, attacks will be coming our way. And I walked into the school and I met Kendra and everything changed, you know, like all the odds, everything that you think can't happen, won't happen. You can meet somebody like her, just a mom like me. And together we can prove to be a pretty formidable force. I think one of the things that I love so much about this city and our community movements is that kind of, we believe in each other, you know, because sometimes, unfortunately, we don't have anything else, you know, like we believe in each other and we believe in our power to make change when we come together. And the most unlikely people in unlikely spaces coming together in a fervent belief that our children deserve quality schools, that our neighbors deserve a decent home over their heads, that we want and demand safe streets that are based on like dignity and love and respect for our communities, that these things are not impossible, but they can only really come together when we band this unusual sisterhood, you know, coming together across all different boundaries, bringing together all of our different and disparate experiences, even maybe sometimes even the most painful ones, because we know what happens when we lose. We know what it feels like to bear the consequences of failing schools and communities torn apart and places that don't feel like a home for you. So that desire for us to rebuild that really drives us. And I think that Kendra's exactly right, that we've formed a sisterhood. And when she ran for city council, not only did I believe that she would win and make history, but that she will go down in history as one of the best council members that this city has ever seen.
So the conversation we're having right now is part of a series called Women Leading Locally. And so I've got two questions for both of you, and I'd love to hear you both weigh in. One is, so where are you planning to lead the city of Philadelphia? What good trouble are you going to take this sisterhood and go get into? You can talk about some of what you're actually doing now and some of where you'd like to go next. And maybe we'll start with Kendra and then Helen, and then I'll wrap up with a final question on that.
Well, what's next? So we just passed paid sick, our third iteration of emergency paid sick. So that was huge. And I'm, you know, so honored to be a part of that work. But my focus moving forward is going to be our budget. The budget season is coming. We need to make sure that we make those investments in the things that we talk about, where we talk about gun violence prevention, housing as a human right. We need to make sure that we are providing, you know, resources for people to stay in their homes. As well as my focus have been these community gardens. How can we preserve land for communities? And those three things will be my continued fight as we move forward. You know, I believe that creating a stable community starts with housing, starts with community, and it starts with safety. And those will continue to be my focus. I'm kind of predictable in that. Like, these are three things that I ran on. Those are the things that I'm most committed to. And I'm going to continue to, you know, champion those types of budget requests, policy requests, until we build the city that we all would love to continue to be in. Like, I love Philly. That's my home. And I want to continue to make this a place for other folks to love it as much as I do.
And Helen?
That's amazing. And also more evidence why it's so much fun to be on a city council that can execute and do a bunch of stuff and be excited and energized. So I'll follow up with what Kendra said. You know, a lot of my focus has been on public education and schooling. So there's no question that the state of our young people and especially their mental health and their education is my top priority. It's what actually drove me onto city council. Because I needed to see the city lift up its young people. You know, we are struggling again. We've got hundreds of vacancies. There are people who are leaving the profession. We've got schools that need to be rebuilt. And we've got a GOP legislature that sits on $8 billion in surplus. So, you know, there is a fight to be had around this. And we're looking to lead the charge on a whole host of issues, but especially making sure that, you know, when our young people walk through those school doors, that there's a team that's ready to take care of them, to meet their needs. And, you know, the testing and all of that, critically important. But I got to get young people to love themselves and be in company with one another and learn to love learning again. That feels incredibly important right now. The second thing is that my work and the work that the city's been doing on eviction prevention has taken the fourth highest evicting city in the nation to reduce its evictions by 75%. We used to do over 20,000 evictions every single year, hundreds and hundreds of them every single week, overwhelmingly impacting families, single mothers, Black households. You know, we have made a concerted effort to really see those evictions come to a halt. And it's our work to show that this was not just a crisis response, but that this is actually a path towards economic stability and then ultimately economic security for the city. And then the last thing is that, you know, Kendra and I both come out of strong movements for labor rights, and we're excited that there is a big push, for example, Starbucks to organize. We've got four shops here in the city of Philadelphia that we've been out to personally and supporting. This is a year of the worker, and I think that this is an opportunity to really change the scales of you know, corporate America, and, you know, which is grotesquely inversely proportional to value, where we overpay at the top and we underpay at the bottom. And the workers, the essential workers who are actually doing the work to keep the city running, are the ones that are being paid the least. So Kendra and I and many others on city council here will be putting all of our efforts into making sure that we right those things and that we get the city back on track and back working and investing in the people who make this city the best city in the country.
And the last question is simply this: what does women leading locally mean to you?
To me, it means women coming together, organizing, fighting, challenging the status quo. When I first came into council, and it was Women's History Month, I think this was last year, we looked at to find out how many women have held the seat, you know, over the years. And when you see it's such a small number of women, it told me immediately, like, this is the time. This is the time that we have, I think, 7 women on council currently. You know, our city controller is a woman. Like, what does that mean? It means that we have the power to change things and create something that we've never seen before. With every opportunity, there's always a challenge. And I think as we continue to grow in numbers and our commitment to the city is what's going to kind of help us propel things forward. And it's not always easy. You know, it's easy when I talk about the relationship that I have with me and Helen or me and Jamie, but it's bigger than that. You know, our sisterhood is one thing, but what does it mean to really bring power to all women elected officials in the city? And it's part of us just coming together, getting the work done, having the hard conversations, and creating the city that we all want to see. And I think that's what women leading locally means. And it's not just elected officials. We have to keep in mind, we don't get this work done, you know, in a vacuum. We have to also reach out to our civic leaders, our community leaders, you know, our nonprofit leadership. Collectively is how we're going to change what we don't like currently in our city.
So I would say that, you know, women leading, so women like Kendra and I, as I said before, only come into office when our movements are strong. And I feel like I was very fortunate to come up through a matriarchal immigrant women's movement that took on unjust abuses around developments. We fought, you know, publicly funded baseball stadiums and gambling casinos in Philadelphia Chinatown. You know, we learned to reclaim back our public schools. We fought for our young people when they were harmed by state or random violence in our communities. And, you know, one of the things that has been incredibly powerful is that women lead all the time, that we are leading on issues that have been devalued and marginalized in the overwhelmingly patriarchal, money-driven political sphere. Our challenge was never whether we could lead, but whether we could take on this, you know, political world and make it truly be about the things that we cared about and the people we love. And to us, that was the ultimate form of politics, you know, that there was not a politics that wasn't about issues that resonated deeply, whether you came out of immigrant communities or, you know, a church basement in Overbrook or, you know, a school in North Philadelphia or a senior center in the Northeast, that these things had to resonate for women in particular. And I think, like, part of doing this work, leading locally, is about toppling a patriarchal vision of society that centers money and power, properties, and things, as opposed to us as families, as people, as young people, as communities, and especially as women. And so I, you know, I hope if anybody's listening that there obviously is, you know, a huge spark and wave in terms of an interest in politics. But I do hope that people are excited by local politics, because certainly that's the thing that I find to be the most energizing. We're closest to the ground. We're not Councilmember Gim and Councilmember Brooks. We're Kendra and Helen. We're moms at the same time that we're city council members, raising our own families, taking care of of ourselves, our city, our colleagues, you know, this body, and like a vision of politics that's so much, that's not rooted in like this idea that, you know, there's some kind of like hierarchy between federal, state, and local, but actually just it's a jurisdiction, and our jurisdiction is the city that teems with life and vitality, and most of all, dreams. And it's our job to unlock the potential of our city. And if there's one group of people who can unlock potential, it is women, and it is women in sisterhood and in partnership with one another, not just for the sake of our gender, but actually because we've been in the trenches with one another. We've borne consequences and loss. And when we have the chance to be in office and when we have the chance to lead, then we will take everything that we've got and just charge.
I love it. I think maybe we need to change the name of the series to Women Lead All the Time, constantly, without stopping. I so appreciate it. Thank you, Philadelphia Council members Helen Gim and Kendra Brooks. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.